Listeners have been emailing me about their great experiences when they visited a Tecovas store, the company renowned for upholding timeless traditions and delivering top-notch quality in every pair of cowboy boots. If you haven't experienced their exceptional craftsmanship firsthand, why wait any longer? Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have custom leather branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit Tecovas.com. That's Tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots as well as free returns and exchanges and ship right to your door. Go to Tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. Winning season returns at mybookie.ag, and it's time to get in on the action. First-time players can get started by doubling your first deposit, giving you the firepower, pa-boom, to add excitement to the games you love. College football odds boosts, NFL lock of the week season, and over $500,000 in contest prizes live on-site to make winning this season your best ever with MyBookie. With a historic 18-week schedule offering more action than ever before, you need a sportsbook casino that's reliable, and you won't find a better place than MyBookie. I know you're going to bet this season, so do the smart thing and sign up with MyBookie and use our promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to get your first ever deposit matched dollar for dollar. That's extra money credited to your account instantly just for using promo code ZABE and making your first deposit today. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie, and when you win, get paid.
Five, five, four, four, three, three, two, one, one. Strap in.
You are looking live at a sold-out Memorial Stadium in Columbia.
What the hell is this game? What is this game? It's nothing out here. It's nothing out here.
Single swinging guy starts with teams. Let's hit it rolling now. Let's earn this thing today.
This is NFL, which stands for not for long when you make the calls. Yeah. I'll be selling groceries.
They shot me in Denver. You will not!
You will not!
Still the greatest open I have ever created. You are looking live at week 2 out of 17 of the National Football League, coming off a dog day opening week like they've never seen before. 12 of the 16 games, the underdog covered. Best record in 38 years. Fantastic bookend games as well. Brady and the Bucks clipping the Cowboys 31-29 on Thursday. Then the Raiders winning the game, losing the game, then winning the game again in overtime on a zero blitz against Baltimore 33-27 in the brand new and packed to the gills Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas. Biggest shocks of the week: Arizona smashing the Titans, the Saints pantsing the Packers, and the Steelers showing we're not dead yet by stunning Buffalo in Orchard Park. So here we go. Week 2 in the NFL. It's your 1-9-2-2-1-1 lineup. Thursday night's game of the 0-1 New York Giants against the 0-1 Washington football team was too late for this edition of the ZabeCast. That takes us to the 1 o'clock games, and you are looking live at a humbled Bills team still taking on a traditional rival. The 0-1 Bills against the 1-0 Dolphins. Buffalo minus 3 on the road in Miami at Hard Rock Stadium. 47.5 is the total. Buffalo hasn't beaten the Finns in 6 straight since 1989. They're going for 6 in a row with this game Sunday. Who was the quarterback in 89? Dan Marino, anybody? Anyone want to hear a Dan Marino flub tape?
You'll get round trip airfare and tickets to a game, a complete uniform, and a chance to meet me. Stay tuned. I'll have details on how to enter, and we'll be announcing a winner later tonight.
It was a little long, and I think you flubbed on that last.
Did not flub at all.
No, it wasn't a flub.
It was no fucking flub. But, it was not a flub.
You want to see that playback?
Let's no, come on. Let's do it.
Good.
I'll have details on how to enter, and we'll be announcing a winner later tonight.
Perfect.
Fuck it. Send it in.
Okay.
Nope. I don't want to see shit.
Fox's Brandon Godin, Matt Millen, Sarah Kustak on the call, Craig Rolstad, your referee. That takes us to Cincinnati, and you are looking live at Joseph Lee Burrow, a.k.a. the Cincinnati Kid. The 1-0 Bengals against the 0-1 Bears. Chicago, a 2.5-point favorite in this one. Total is 45. What does the Gambletron say? I said, what does the Gambletron say? Come on, Frank Gambletron. Oh, come on now. Oh, it's not playing for me. Interesting. That's a flaw in the software. It said Cincinnati by 3,000 points. More Justin Fields, please. So say the Bear fans. They're begging Matt Nagy. Nagy's saying, we're working on it. Kevin Kugler for Fox, Mark Sanchez, and the perpetually tan and talented Laura Oakman on the call. Land Clark is your referee. That takes us to Jacksonville. You are looking live at Teddy Bridgewater, now 27-23 as a starter. Put some respect on that man's name, will you? The 1-0 Denver Broncos and Teddy come in 6-point favorites over the Jags. If you had the over on 1 week before Urban Meyer started looking at other jobs and having to deny said interest, guess what? You lost. CBS's Spiro Dittas, Jay Feely on the call. Clay Martin is your referee. That takes us to Cleveland. And you are looking live at the largest point spread on the board in the young 2021 season. The Houston Texans, despite winning in week one, are 12.5-point underdogs to the 0-1 Cleveland Browns, who gave the Chiefs all they wanted and then some. Browns haven't been this big of a favorite since they respawned in 1999. Myles Garrett is going to be hunting in this game. Look out, Tyrod Taylor. CBS's Greg Gumbel, Adam Archuleta, A.J. Ross on the sidelines. Brad Rogers is your referee. That takes us to Indianapolis. And you are looking live at the two wives of new Rams quarterback Matt Stafford. 1-0 Rams are 3.5-point favorites against the 0-1 Colts. Total is 48. And for reference, the smoking hot blonde with a 22-year-old surfer body who survived brain cancer, that's Kelly, his wife. The 30-ish, taller hot blonde with a volleyball-type body, that's not Mrs. Stafford. That is, in fact, a woman by the name of Allie Chappis. How do I know this? I looked it up. Fox's Kenny Albert, Jonathan Vilma, and Lindsay Zardiak. Another tall, beautiful blonde. On the sideline, Sean Smith is your referee. That takes us to Pittsburgh. And you are looking live at the unstoppable tight end Darren Waller, who went 10 catches for a 105 and a touchdown on a staggering 19 targets on Monday night. 1-0 Vegas against 1-0 Pittsburgh. Steelers -6. The total is 47. CBS's Ian Eagle, Charles Davis, Evan Washburn on the call. Jerome Boger is your referee.
After the play is over, the lay of the game, offense number 21 for a dead ball spiking of the football into the field of play. 5-yard penalty. After the fourth of the penalty, it will be 1st and 10.
Attaboy, Jerome. That takes us to the Meadowlands. And you are looking live at the first of several juicy first-rounder on first-rounder quarterback showdowns this year. Mac Jones versus Zach Wilson. Mac versus Zach. The 0-1 Patriots. 6-point favorites at the 0-1 J-E-T-S. Jets. 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 CBS's Kevin Harlan, with no regard for human life. Trent Green and Melanie Collins on the call. Sean Hockley, your referee, or as Scott Lynn likes to call him, Shaun of the Ed. I like that. That takes us, still in the 1 o'clock hour, to Carolina. And you are looking live at Christian Jackson McCaffrey, the great white truth. 1-0 New Orleans, a 3-point favorite at 1-0 Carolina. It's a division game, Smokey. Last week, Christian McCaffrey got right back to producing on the air, on the ground, you name it, he can do it. He is the greatest white running back since John Riggins, flat out. Fun stat, by the way, Jameis Winston threw a ball 50 yards in the air for a touchdown to that little shrimp, Deontay Harris, who's fast as hell from Assumption College. Do you know that Drew Brees, in 9,421 passes as a Saint, never did that? Never threw a ball 50 yards in the air. YOLO! The crab leg kid can air it out. Fox's Chris Myers, Daryl Moose Johnston, and Jen Hale. On the call, your referee is Ron Torbert. That takes us to Philadelphia. And you are looking live at the smoldering wreckage of Raheem Mostert's knee. Done for the year. What a dagger. The 1-0 San Francisco 49ers, 3-point favorites at the 1-0 Philadelphia Eagles. Jalen Hurts looked great last week. Total, by the way, is 50. But hey, speaking of Mostert, next man up, Elijah Mitchell, a sixth rounder out of Louisiana, over 100 yards in relief last week. Look for more of him this week. Fox's Adam Amin, Mark Schlereth, and Shannon Spake on the call. Brad Allen is your referee. And that is it for your 1 o'clock games. We go to the 405 bridge window, and we go to Tampa Bay. You are looking live at the ageless Tom Brady versus the rapidly aging Matt Ryan. 0-1 Atlanta is a whopping 12.5-point underdogs to the 1-0 Tampa Bay Bucks. Did you see Tom Brady's new goal? 50. Fuck you. Retire already. Because why not? Hell, he's almost halfway there. Tom Brady.
Good game. They're a good team, and we played them earlier this year. I know everyone thinks we suck and, can't win any games, so we'll see. It'll be fun.
Kevin Burkhardt for Fox, Greg Olson, and Pam Oliver on the call. Carl Cheffers, your referee. That takes us to Arizona, and you are looking live at the diminutive Kyler Murray, who might just be the real deal. Hell, I remember when he was threatening to go play baseball. That would have been a waste. He was a one-man highlight show last week, along with, of course, DeAndre Hopkins. 1-0 Arizona, 3.5-point favorite against Minnesota. And Kirk Cousins. It is Mr. Off-Schedule in Murray versus Mr. On-Schedule in Kirk Cousins. Total is 50.5. Fox's Gus Johnson, Aqib Talib, as well as Megan O'Leary on the sideline. Bill Vinovich is your referee. That's the 405 bridge games. We got two, and we go to 425, and we go to Los Angeles. You are looking live at Justin Herbert, who just shredded the Wolfskin secondary last week, converting 14 of 17 third downs. Talk about a daggering. 0-1 Dallas taking on 1-0 Los Angeles, the Chargers. Chargers are -3.5. Cowboys have some extra rest. Total is 55 and a hook. That's the largest number on the board. Can Zeke Elliott return to some form of being an elite RB1?
Cowboys,
what you going to do? I don't know. Maybe give the ball to Zeke a bit more. You know, Joey Bosa's brother, Nick Bosa's brother. Wait, which Bosa? Joey Bosa for the Chargers. He's pretty fucking good, too. Anyhow, Jim Nantz, Tony Romo, Tracy Wolfson will be running up the tab at the Hollywood Beverly Hills with their room service, calling the game. Tony Correnti is your referee. That takes us to the last of the fours, and we go to Seattle. And you are looking live at the boss chef in the Seahawk kitchen, Russell Wilson, who was cooking last week. 0-1 Tennessee takes on the 1-0 Seahawks, who are 6-point favorites in front of the 12s. You know, last week, Tyler Lockett made an outrageous Willie Mays-style catch over his shoulder. It was business as usual for him, though. Meanwhile, offensive tackle Taylor Lewan praised Chandler Jones for his 5 sacks, saying, you destroyed me, but thank you, it'll make me better. CBS's Andrew Catalan, James Lofton, and Sherry Burris on the call. John Hussey is your referee. That takes us to Sunday night, and we go to Baltimore. And you are looking live at the best meme in football right now. Tyreek down there somewhere. 1-0 Kansas City, 0-1 Baltimore. Chiefs are -3.5, total 54 and a hook. It's the fourth straight year these teams will meet, and the Chiefs have gone 3-0 with Mahomes in that span. NBC's L. Michaels with the call. Chris Collinsworth and Michelle Tafoya. Cleet Blakeman is your referee. And that takes us to Monday Night Football and Green Bay. And you are looking live at Mr. Beautiful Mystery himself, Aaron Charles Rogers, who turned in a flat-out dud last week. The 0-1 Lions take on the 0-1 Packers. Green Bay is an 11-point favorite. Total is 48 and a hook. Packers have swept the Lions in back-to-back years. That's 4 straight. But they got swept in back-to-back years, so they had lost 4 straight to the Lions. Steve Levy, Brian Greasy, Lewis Riddick, Lisa Saltris on the A-Cast on ESPN and ABC. On the B-Cast, the Manning Cast, on ESPN2. Yo, Adrian is your referee, Adrian Hill. And there it is, week number 2 in the National Football League. Winning season returns at mybookie.ag, and it's time to get in on the action. First-time players can get started by doubling your first deposit, giving you the firepower, pa-boom, to add excitement to the games you love. College football odds boosts, NFL lock of the week season, and over $500,000 in contest prizes live on-site to make winning this season your best ever with MyBookie. With a historic 18-week schedule offering more action than ever before, you need a sportsbook casino that's reliable, and you won't find a better place than MyBookie. I know you're going to bet this season, so do the smart thing and sign up with MyBookie and use our promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to get your first ever deposit matched dollar for dollar. That's extra money credited to your account instantly just for using promo code ZABE and making your first deposit today. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie, and when you win, get paid. Now that the table is set, it's time that we eat. Time to talk to Mr. X. From the website, justcallmemrx.com. See how our picks did, see what his specials are for the week, and go from there. Mr. X!
Hey.
Happy and profitable Thursday evening to you. We are getting off the ground well in time for tonight's Washington-New York game, aren't we?
That's the plan.
Unless we go an hour and 10 minutes, which people would say, okay, that's it. I'm turning off the podcast. Too much X.
Exactly. They might have already done that.
I don't think so, because I brought back a rousing rendition of You Are Looking Live, and you will hear it when you listen to the podcast, because you always watch game film. I respect that about you. You listen to your podcast appearances. You listen to the podcast in general just to make sure you're current on things. I think I nailed it with You Are Looking Live. Now, some may disagree. Some may say, I like it better with Scott and Solly. And I would say, sure, I like it better with them as well. But at least I got it in 15 minutes. So set the table, now we eat. That's the new phrase. Right. I set the table, and now we eat. Let's talk about last week's meal first.
Okay.
How did you and I go with our official picks here on the show?
You did well. You nailed your Rams as your lock. Easy.
Yes.
Ding, ding. You went 2-1 overall. You also took Houston, which was a silly, easy win. And your loss was the Pats, which was a tough loss. They should have won that game. You should have been 3-0, but as they say, but you went 2-1.
Yeah.
All three good picks.
So did you watch the Patriot game and Mac Jones? You probably did. You're still a Pats fan, even though you're a Brady fan as well.
Yeah, I watched it, but when I watch them on Sunday, I mean, I got, four or five at once. And then I watch every game over between Monday and Friday.
Do you
watch them for real?
Do you get the NFL Game Pass, the $99?
Not exactly.
Well, let me say this. The NFL fleeces the shit out of all of us or provides services we're glad to pay for. Depends on your perspective. But the $99 Game Pass is fantastic because you get not only the cut up 30-minute game, shortcuts, you get the full games if you want to watch the whole thing and listen to all the jib-jab in between plays and during delays and timeouts and injuries. And you get the all 22s from not just one angle, but two angles. So it's a lot of stuff you get for $100 for the year.
Yes. I get a lot more for my 100, but it still sounds good.
Okay, fair enough. We'll leave it at that. So how did Mac Jones look to you?
I thought he looked very good. They should have won that game. He looked good. They had two brutal fumbles that lost the game. But Jones did not look like he didn't tear it up, but he looked very comfortable. Yeah. And he had a good day.
So those were my picks, 2-1. My lock came home. What about your picks?
Mine were almost as good, but I went 1-2. Did not do well.
I don't know you say almost as good.
Almost as good as your 2-1.
Okay.
Now, I lost Indy, and you tried to get me off that. I lost Indy. I got Carolina, and I was just listening to our show a couple hours ago, as you know. Trying to catch up. And what I said was, with no Austin Eckler, we got to love Washington. I don't know how you and I both said Eckler was ruled out for the week. He played well. It was skin. Washington still probably could have won that game, but obviously that was won by Sunday with Eckler playing. We didn't play it. But on Thursday, everybody said he was out. Whatever. A loss is a loss on the show. So
did I say he is ruled out for sure, or did I say it? I did.
Yeah, we both had read that he was out, and we actually said that because it was announced on Thursday. And by Sunday, it was a surprise. He's not only good to go, but he's fine.
Would it have made a difference? Probably. I mean, yeah, he's a really good back. He didn't necessarily carve him up, but, I mean, it was Justin Herbert who was just phenomenal.
True, but I mean, you obviously want the number one guy out the lineup, and I ended up not playing him on Sunday once they announced that he was playing, of course.
Yeah.
But that's the nature of Thursday. But so that's how we did. Not a bad start, a great start for you, and we'll get there.
All right. Here's a email from John Hockison in Delaware.
Oh boy.
He writes, Mr. X. Zabe. Minor complaint. Go ahead. Oh, boy. I'm waiting with all these different
boys. Don't tell me I'm an amateur again. We all know I'm not a professional. I'm an amateur.
Minor complaint, but could you get some structure to Mr. X? Seems like his goal is to prevent you from documenting his picks.
Wow.
Last week he mentioned 3 college games, but on all 3, he ultimately said to stay away from the game. Those aren't picks.
They weren't.
And this whole my picks Sunday are different than Friday. Stop it. Everybody in America makes their picks on Friday. Well, in your defense, and to you, Mr. John Hockison in Delaware, we record on Thursday night. Thursday to Friday is a huge difference because a lot of guys don't practice till Friday. So we don't know. See the Eckler situation. Anyway, even on the rover and over, he seems like he doesn't want to document the specific games. Lots of hedging. At some point, he's going to become an older Jimmy the Greek just buying a win ticket on every horse. Ha ha. Anyhow, love the podcasts. thanks, sincerely, John Hockison.
Do I get a rebuttal?
Absolutely. Fire away.
How many times do you and I get emails that say, basically, let me summarize. You suck. Love the podcast. Really? Which is it? Which is it? Okay, but my answer is this. One thing you have done with me, point blank, for 21 years on your show, is documented the crap out of everything.
Oh, it's all on tape.
Everything.
It's now, documented but on tape. We don't fuck around in that regard.
When we talked last week, we kind of were doing a big old overview, and we talked about key college games. I didn't pick them. There's no not – I didn't pick those three games. Those three games were games of interest to watch. They were not like, hey, I love this side. He's dead right. I did not make a pick in the college games we talked about.
Because we don't – here's the thing, John Hawkinson. We don't make college picks on this podcast. If you want Mr. X's college steam, you can go to callmemrx.com. We make a small smattering of NFL picks with a full caveat that picking on Thursday is not necessarily the best strategy. We documented, and oh, by the way, the last couple years, we've been better than your average fucking bear.
Yeah. But the other thing I would say to that, by the way, I mean, last week, by the way, Dano tore it up in college. He was 4-0. I didn't do as well. I think I was 2-2. But the other thing is, it's not just about Thursday, Sunday, Eckler, and injuries. There's two things. One, gamblers get a lot of data from lines and moves, and that shit don't happen till the end. And the second thing is, Zabe, I watch, even when it comes to my opinions, I watch all 16 games a second time. We're recording now. I've watched 8 of the 16. So is it possible to rewatch more games and get new info on Friday and Saturday? Yes, it is. Sorry. We're doing what we can.
With all due respect, Mr. X, seeing the video you sent
me. Which is what you say when you're about to not be respectful. But go ahead.
It's in the Geneva Convention, yeah. As Ricky Bobby once said. With the video you sent today of you on your boat, don't tell mom, with your beautiful German Shepherd named Kobe. That was what your sons named him, after you know who. On a crystalline blue sky, mirror glass, calm main lake, as peaceful as can be. Given that you have nothing else on your docket, you should be through more than 8 fucking games through this point of the week, my man. What's keeping you busy throughout the rest of the week? Let's go.
In the immortal words of Lisa Simpson, you would think
You would think that. Anyway, who the fuck cares? There. Here's another email. This one is not critical. It's a genuine question. Brian French writes to say, Zabe, you've always talked with Mr. X about betting late in the week as the smarter play. However, isn't there a counter argument that if you bet the line when it opens, there's still value there as it hasn't been moved yet by the sharps? I understand that a small group of people have the intel to make those bets. I'm certainly not one of them, but Mr. X clearly would be. Also, could you ask him his view on how important it is to get your bets at a price better than the closing line? Some say it's the only thing bettors should evaluate their performance against.
Excellent question. There's two parts to that, though. Number one is called chasing a line, which a smart bettor just quits and doesn't chase. If you love a team at -6, and the sharps move that to -7 or 7.5. Yes, you can say, darn, wished I'd got it. But you don't chase it. You let it go. There's another fight coming. He's right. You do want the best line. If you constantly take that new line over the year, you're not going to be in a good position. Sometimes you just pass them. So the other half of that question is, well, why not bet it early? Well, that's freaking hindsight. I mean, yes, but you don't know that. Remember, your pick last week was the Rams. And what did I tell you on the podcast? I said, your number one pick, I said, take it today, buy the 7.5 to 7. It'll be 9 on Sunday night. What did it close at? 9.
Yeah.
So his point is accurate. Sometimes you can see that coming. Sometimes you can't. And the real answer to that is yes. If you're really in love and take the line where it is, if you think it's going to go the other way, great. But when you're talking real money, I don't want to lock in on Wednesday to grab a point and have 4 guys cheat and be knocked out because of COVID rules like the Broncos last year.
That's true.
It's not worth it.
Yeah. In this COVID era, until it's finally over,
right,
Being early is a very risky proposition.
Exactly.
All right, one more. William Anderson saying via email, zabe@yahoo.com. Zabe, I really missed the old CBS NFL Today music open your Friday show. Where was it last week? Also missed your snappy presentation of the games before you bring on Mr. X. I know it's got to be a lot of work, but I really missed it. Please bring it back. Please, Drew in Lakeland, Florida. Well, Drew, If you're listening right now, you just heard it, so congratulations. Mazel tov, it's back. Wait, congratulations, mazel. I should say you're welcome. You're welcome. Okay, so we've gotten on record for our picks last week. I mentioned in You Are Looking Live, it was a dog day Sunday and Monday last week in the NFL. 12 of the 16 games the dogs covered. Best record in 38 years. Hello? Mr. X?
Zabe, I'm sorry. I lost the whole email. I thought you dropped the call.
Sorry. No problem. Here we are. I was going to say, last week, 12 of the 16 games won by the dogs, covered.
Bingo.
Best record in 38 years. Any correct reasoning to that, in your opinion?
Well, okay, sorry. I'm going to sound like a smarty, but last week, remember, the one thing we talked about when we started this pod years ago was I try to teach gambling. I'm not trying to sit here and just, you know, a guy who picks a winner is as hot, as good as his most recent streak. Okay, the two things I said last week is, one, skip the first 2 weeks if you want to in the NFL. It's never good to get buried early. And the second thing I said is, if you're going to play in week one, try to take pluses on most of your bets. Okay? Okay, how'd we do? He dead right. 12 dogs. The favorites went 4-12. So that was a good lesson to learn, and it was dead on once again, like it is most years. Why was it the best one ever? I don't know. You could make a few cases for that. Maybe the lack of preseason, even the teams, and the better teams aren't really as better as they should be yet. I don't know.
Okay, what percentage of games went over last week?
The overs went 7-9.
And what did the public money do last week?
Public did just what the favorites did. They went 3-10, pretty beautiful, much the way I track them. Yep, yep. It was just what we saw coming. It was like, yeah, you know, I said, don't just play every dog. It's not that easy. But obviously, if you had, it would have worked well. The only thing I said last week was stay away from the chalk.
Yeah. You also said take it slow. And you said, right, how's 4-12? Was the 4-12 just the funsies picks? Oh, no, 4-12 is the favorites went 4-12. That's why you want to go slow. Yeah, yeah, right. I hear you.
Well, I mean, it's easy. Like I said, you know, take the dogs, but go slow. And now everybody's like, well, why didn't I take all the dogs? It's okay. You know,
it's don't okay get greedy. The Rovers went 2-6.
Greed is good.
Yeah. The Rover and over play, which is a college play only.
Usually.
I can't remember a pro Rover and over.
There's been a handful, but okay, anyway, it's usually college, sure.
College play in which the dog, which is getting a massive pile of points, as long as, well, let's say a dog is a massive underdog, 55-point dog, right?
Sure.
And the total is within shouting distance of the actual spread. Let's say the total is 65. Then the Rover and over is to bet both the underdog, that's Rover, and the over, and don't tie them together and just sit tight. Mm-hmm. Very correct good chance that as long as the third team scores half of what the difference is,
correct,
you're covered on a 1-1. And if they hit both, then guess what? It's like going 20-1. So the Rover and overs have so far this year gone 2-6. And
this week they were 2-6.
Oh, this week they were 2-6. And that was fucking great because why?
Yes. Well, you're paying the juice on six pairs, and we hit two to go 2-0. That's a really nice day. And by the way, okay, we talk about teaching in the Rover and over. I don't think on your podcast anybody wanted to listen to me name 8 Morgan State plus 47 and over 57. Another one, Wagner. No, that's not what we're doing. I was showing you the theory, and you're got your email is right. You know what? The subscribers on the website, they get all 8 written up. But we're not sitting here on here going through it. And by the way, as you recall, possibly I emailed you when I was upset about one of them. We should have had a third win. Morgan State scores on the last play of the game to hit the Rover and over. And then I realized they don't do the PAT anymore when you score after the gun. So they were catching 48.5, and they lost by 49.
All right, so there was 8 Rover and overs, so that's a total of 16 wagers?
Correct.
And you lost six of those, which means you paid on a hypothetical hypothetical $100 wager on each.
Right. That so you would have lost $10 six times.
$60 losses. And you would have won $200 twice. So that's $400 minus $60.
Correct.
Pretty good.
Pretty good day. It's still a good day, right? And we were a PAT away from hitting the third one. It was a good rover and over day.
Okay.
The number of emails from my website, the whole, it's like you learn how this works just in time for it to be over, because like this week will be the end of it. You won't get them after this.
Well, that's the thing. The rover and over season is short. It's only in early September with the non-con games, the pay-to-play games, and whatnot. They're like Mackinac peaches. They're ripe for about 2 weeks a year. So.
Yep.
All right. Yep. League stuff in the NFL. Let's start. Subject number one, punts.
Well, I watched this again. There's always an evolution in football. One team learns something, and then a few years later, the other team learns how to stop it or whatever. There's a learning curve. All these punters have learned how to do these Phil Mickelson flop shots that hit and kick backwards, right? They no longer bound into the end zone. And what I cannot understand is, why do you fair catch this ball that's going to kick the other direction? The Lions are the only team that figured it out this week. They let it drop on the 4 and it kicks to the 14. Why do you keep fair catching the ball on the 5? And everyone goes, because it's not going in the end zone. I'm like, no shit, but it's going the other way.
Right. The theory is to prevent, is to at least keep you at first and goal or first and 10 at the 7, which gives you room to operate instead of first and 10 at the 1.
Right. But they just don't go forward a foot or two. Usually the bound it. They're all, if you watch them now, they're all got this knuckleball, lob wedge, and they go the other way. Pretty soon teams are going to figure out to not field those balls.
I'm not sure it's a guarantee they all go backwards.
No, but you know, okay, look, it's their job.
I know. So
you ought to know the guy who can do that.
I know. The other thing is there is a couple of insane fourth down go for its.
There were more fourth downs this week than I can remember.
When Matt LaFleur went for fourth and one, and a meaty one at his own 30-something, early in the game, I said, what are you trying to do? If you convert, what have you won? More downs.
That's what I keep saying. You've
won another 70 yards of trying to get into the end zone. And if you lose, you're already minus 3 because the other team's in field goal position. That's a terrible fucking exchange of odds.
The time you go for it is back in, let's call it the Brady versus Peyton Manning games, where, keeping the ball matters because everyone's scoring.
Right.
But you said in these games where it's like, hey, you're only on the 29, we can make that foot. Okay, great. Congratulations. You got 70 more yards to go. What did you get out of that?
See, I would go for fourth and less than 2 every time on the plus side. And I would never go for fourth and 1 or less on the minus side unless getting it would end the game with knees. It's
important. Right. Yeah, what you always say to yourself is, congratulations. It's your ball. You're on the third. Zabe, the Bengals did it. The Bengals.
I know.
Early in the game, I think it was first or early second quarter, they went fourth and 1 on the 29. And after you convert, you go, okay, Joe Burrow, you just need 70 more yards. You're not going to get it. And 3 downs later, you're punting anyway.
The other problem I had was with Riverboat Ron, who punted away on the plus 40, fourth and 7, 7 minutes and change to go. Thinking, I want to pin him back inside the 10. Well, he did, but then he never got the ball back because they couldn't get Herbert off the field. And he said, well, we got him into a 3rd and 17. We just couldn't stop him. We did what we were supposed to. We just didn't execute. I'm like, you can't look at it that way. You can't. It could have been a 3rd and 5 that they were in.
Yeah.
You're not a soothsayer. Like, to me, I look at it like this. So if you punt him back there and you stop him 1, 2, 3 and get the ball back, Where are you going to get the ball back? You're going to get the ball back 10 or 15 yards behind where you had it the last time, probably at the 50 or at the minus 45, right? You're going to have a minute and a half less time to operate with. You're back to almost square one. Only it'll be first down, not fourth down, which is a bit of an advantage. To me, that's not worth it if it's a convertible fourth down, which 4th and 7 is. You get much longer than that, the odds go way down. But 4th and 7 or less, That's a fucking go for it, if you ask me.
There's another piece of that equation that you left out. That I agree with everything you said. The other part of it is you got Heinicke at the helm. Two chances to score is better than one chance to score. Right. You don't have, you know, if you got Tom Brady, you say, give me the ball once and we win. When you got Heinicke, like, well, you know what? If we go for it here and miss and stop him, we'll have a second turn. Screw the field position. I want two turns, not one turn.
Also,
I call it, there were two teams that did that. The other one was Pittsburgh. It's what I call, or Buffalo rather, in the pit game. I call it the Xbox rule. It's the biggest mistake they make is as if it's predetermined, like playing Xbox, kind of what you said. I go here, I don't go here. The part they leave out is, have you been watching the rest of the game today?
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Forget what you would do on a normal chart. Okay, you got Heinicke coming off the bench, and all I could think of was, if he misses, he'll get one more turn. I want him to have two turns, not one. And Buffalo did it in a similar situation, the opposite. They were completely dominating Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh had no yardage whatsoever. Buffalo's up 10-0 at midfield. They go on 4th-and-2. And I looked at that one and said, have you watched the game? Punt it to the 10. They haven't moved the ball. Yeah. They're not going to, and instead they ran a goofy trick play, lose yards, Pitt's immediately in the game. You can't just use the chart like an extra point. You have to say, are we moving the ball today? Can we convert this or are we not? You know, you have to change based on the game.
Yeah. Also, you got to know how typically teams and games play their hand at the end of game situations. In the Charger woofed game, let's say you don't convert the 4th-and-7. Chargers have the ball near midfield. They're going to plink it into field goal range and then get super conservative, kick a field goal to go up 7. That ain't terrible. You'll still get the ball back with 3 minutes to go, only down 7. So you got to factor that in, as that's how they'll likely play it in the worst case scenario, which means you're still very much alive. Go for it.
Sure.
Yeah. All right. Jersey numbers.
Oh, God. This change where they're allowed to wear different numbers, it's killing me. I mean, I'm watching replays of games, and all these veterans have changed their numbers. I know. You don't realize that you know their numbers until you're like, wait, who's 2?
Who's 6? Okay,
wait, who's 7? Right.
I hate it as well. I always, you know, when the NFL did open up receivers to the teens, it was because they ran out of 80s numbers because, you know, every team used to have 3 wide receivers back in the 70s and 80s, right? And they're like, we're stocked. Right. Now you got 6 or sometimes 7, so you had to do that. But I don't like linebackers wearing single digits. I just don't. I agree with you on that. Brady says it's hard to pick up the mic.
Switch on a team.
Yeah, exactly. Bad beat of the week.
Lions or the Niners. You took the Niners laying 9. They're up 24 with 2.5 to play.
Jesus Christ.
And the Lions not only score twice, they hit 2 2-point conversions to lose by 8, catching 9.
That's bad. Crazy. Is losing to the Saints 38-3 a bad thing?
Yeah, I don't know if you already noticed this. Your Packers lost 38-3 to the Saints.
Yes.
On opening night.
Yes.
Who lost 38-3 to the Saints on opening day last year?
That was the Buccaneers.
The Buccaneers who won the Super Bowl.
Wow. How about that? That was opening day?
Yes.
You sure?
I'm 50% positive.
What was the Sunday night game in October?
Was the other Bucs beating. Brady got beat bad by the Saints in week 1.
Who did they get thrashed by?
Yeah.
On Sunday night in October, I was in Vegas at the time, and I was kind of drunk, and I bet the Bucs, and I was just angry about it. I'll look it up, but they've had that before. Okay, what else do you want to get to before we get to our picks?
I'll throw this at you quickly. I would just say, you know, what I look for when I watch games is who's better than you. Everybody knows the box score. Who played better than it looks, and who played worse than it looks? That's what I like to take away early in the year, because everybody knows what the yards and the total points were. Teams that played better than you would think, Colts, Philly, even though they won, Detroit ran the ball. They played better than worse, better than you would think. Worse than you would think, Jets, they were so bad I can't even begin to evaluate Zach Wilson. No idea. Minnesota and even Carolina were teams that I thought played worse than they were expected and worse than it looked. Then, of course, there's the I forgot to turn in my paper, the Packer. I don't have any idea what to do.
Look, we've thrashed it around on 97.3 The Game all week long, and it's one of the worst outings they've ever put on tape. Rodgers' body language was terrible. His post-game language was terrible. He didn't back up his coach when he called it an embarrassment and a rude awakening. He basically said, that's one game. So there's an immense amount of pressure on Rodgers to deliver a win in game number two on Monday night against Detroit. By the way, it was the game Tampa Bay did get crushed by New Orleans by that 38-3 on November.
And Brady, there was a lot of questions about Brady coming to Tampa after one game last year. Everything Rodgers is dealing with. Yep.
But that was in Tampa, and there was November 8th, not October, November 8th. Brady was 22 of 38 for three INTs, no touchdowns. Opening week, he wasn't great either, but they lost that one in New Orleans, 34-23. Brady was 23 of 36, two INTs, two touchdowns. So there you go on that.
Okay.
All right, let's get to our picks for the week, Mr. X. I'll go first. As always, I pick three games. I give you one lock. If you feel like winning more, bet all three. I went 2-1 last week. If I don't go 3-0 for you, my next week's picks are absolutely free.
Our picks are free. They're not worth anything. Okay.
All right, here's what I like this week. Overcorrection, week two. I am dumpster diving on multiple massive spreads here. But I'm dumpster diving in a way that's odd because I'm going to take the points in one game. I'm going to lay the points in another. You ready?
That's a beautiful way to go 1-1.
These are not my locks, but these are additional cheese. Oh. Dumpster diving, hold your nose, because both of these games just stink to high heaven. I love the Falcons plus 12.5 against Tommy Boy and the Buccaneers. Now, why on earth would I like the Falcons, who looked like they had a white chalk outline around the entire team last week, in losing to the Eagles? Simple. Kaleidoscope League. If you feel like you shouldn't be on the square, and I'm standing here on the Falcons plus the number, it feels dirty, it feels creepy, it feels wrong. When you are on a side that feels like you got Art Schleister's stolen money and Pete Rose pushing you, guess what? You're right where you need to be. Sit tight. You're right on the money. Falcons plus the 12.5. The second one, which also skeeves me out, why am I laying 11 with the Packers against a Lions team that, yes, has been beaten four straight by the Packers, but had a good run against them prior to that? I don't want to lay 11 with the Packers. What if they really are what they showed last week? Well, I'm going to lay those points because it feels dirty and wrong. Again, if you feel like you're on the wrong spot, that's probably right where you should be. I'll take the Packers minus the 11. Now, for my lock of the week, my candy from a baby. This is a joke. Just take the money and run. Niners minus 3 at Philly. Major correction coming for the Eagles. Yes, they played well. Yes, Jalen Hurts looked pretty good. And yes, the Niners lost Raheem Mostert, but they got other guys. This is a fundamental, deep, scary, fast team that got up big against a comparable opponent last week on the road, and they threw it away late. Not going to happen again. Only laying 3? Boom. I'm in. Niners minus 3, my lock of the week.
You know, the one thing on that is X2 has been hammering me that I'm dead wrong on Jalen Hurts for 3 years now, and after this week's game, I'm starting to think he can play. He was good last week.
He was good last week.
But I will say this, Zabe, after listening to your logic there, what did you say earlier? Not to sound arrogant, which is what you say when you're going to sound arrogant. There's that time where you release the kid from class and say, you've learned everything there's to learn. You're getting, I'm not going to say you're close, But week or year one on this podcast, I counted on you to just roll out sucker play after sucker play. And now, now you're on the other side of the fence, being sharp, close. I love it.
I'm just literally looking for the dirtiest numbers out there and saying who in their right mind would bet this.
And here's what's interesting about your pick real quick is, you know, there's line, you know, like you could have bet week two in Vegas before week one was played. You know what I mean? They have what you call look ahead lines.
Sure.
Now, which one's moved, and I don't mean because of a quarterback going down or something like that, because generally speaking, you know, the pack, let's say the Packers get waxed, Vegas doesn't adjust their numbers. They know the Packers are the Packers. Public adjusts their numbers. Vegas uses the 80-20 rule. They know how good the teams are already, and one game does not change their opinion. The games that the lines moved the most were – two of the three that had big moves, you just nailed. So the Green Bay one, the Tampa Atlanta, your pick. That line was 7 a week ago. And after the first week, it moved all the way to 13. You said 12.5. It's up to 13.
Wow.
So you're dead on. Like, why did it move that much? You're right. You're on the good side on those.
All right.
Okay.
We'll see how it works out. Your picks for the week.
I'll give you these. And I forgot your emailer's name, but tell him to get a pencil and write these down.
Okay.
Okay. Number one, I'm taking Denver -6 at Jacksonville. Jacksonville looked like a team that was poorly coached, and I don't think you correct that in a week. We know they're a weak team, but they were just not prepared for that game. It was atrocious.
Yeah.
So I'm on Denver -6. Don't like laying a touchdown on the road, but if you're not going to coach, I'll take it.
Right.
Number two, I'll take the Patriots. Even though they're on the road, they still, after these decades, they still hate the Jets. They hate the Jets, and I think the Jets were in total disarray. I don't think they rebound this quickly. You have Belichick versus a rookie quarterback. Andy's on a bad team. That's a match I'll take Belichick every time.
Even though Belichick has his own rookie quarterback.
He does. I'm just saying he's going to confuse Wilson.
Zach Wilson. I hear you.
And Wilson didn't look good when he was not confused. So right. Add the Belichick confusion to the mix. Okay. And my third will be I'm going to take Vegas catching 6.5 going to Pittsburgh. I think Pitt's quite overrated after that upset win in week one. But the number one will be Denver for your tally.
The old NBC NFL theme. Does this bring back memories, Mr. X?
Sure.
Listen to this. The soothing tones of Merlin Olsen and Don Cricky wash over me. Charlie Jones with the great Dick Enberg hosting it.
Oh,
yes. Those days. Still the NFL. It's gotten so big, so loud, so rich, so over the top, so ridiculous in so many ways, so frustrating with the stupid penalties that are called for touching the quarterback. Hey, you looked at him mean. That's a penalty. But we still watch. Why? Best fucking game in the world.
Yep. You tackled him low. Hey, I was on the ground. I didn't have a choice.
No. All right. CallMeMrX.com is his website. Go there for more information if you want to be part of it. As always, Mr. X, we like to say on this edition of the Zabecast, only bet as much as you can afford
to win.
We'll see you next week.
See you, bud.
Winning season returns at mybookie.ag, and it's time to get in on the action. First-time players can get started by doubling your first deposit, giving you the firepower, pa-boom, to add excitement to the games you love. College football odds boosts, NFL lock of the week season, and over $500,000 in contest prizes live on-site to make winning this season your best ever with MyBookie. With a historic 18-week schedule offering more action than ever before, you need a sportsbook casino that's reliable, and you won't find a better place than MyBookie. I know you're going to bet this season, so do the smart thing and sign up with MyBookie and use our promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to get your first ever deposit matched dollar for dollar. That's extra money credited to your account instantly just for using promo code ZABE and making your first deposit today. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie, and when you win, get paid.